The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, who says this time of year is slow.
I can't believe we're halfway through the show already.
We could talk about the lottery for 3 hours.
We only hit on like three teams. There's like four more other teams there that are to address.
But there's so much else to talk about because we got golf major this week. We got tennis. We got horse racing. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Before we get to Drew here, we get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, Sia Najat also going to join us. Talk PGA a little later on. Rick Ollier. Hey, guys. Catching the show a little late this morning. Did I miss something? Who has AIDS? That's terrible. I made an analogy earlier is what I did, and maybe I should have said it's like they treat the word Achilles or like, you know, suggesting or speculating that someone might have a ruptured Achilles like Voldemort and Harry Potter, like the name that he who cannot be named.
I think that's a better way to say it. Yeah.
Well, you weren't alive when I was. Trust me, it's not better. It's so ridiculous that they won't say the word. I mean, it's a lower leg injury.
I think it's most...
It's structural. There's nothing wrong with... Like, here's the thing. The human body, one of the flaws of our human... Of our skeletal structure is that we cannot... our body cannot be supported by those lower extremities if you don't get enough blood flow, stretched, whatever it is, and it just happens. So why can't you... Say it.
Because nobody wants to speculate over possibly horrendous injuries that could massively affect your
career.
His
life isn't in danger. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, his career is in theory.
His career is not in theory, but it would be a year, yes.
I just think it's funny because anybody who's actually had an Achilles injury, I heard people mention it yesterday, but it's all people that had Achilles injuries. They're like, oh, that's an Achilles.
Yeah. Well, we're a breed apart. We're a unique specimen of athlete is what we are, Kelly, especially if you do,
right, yeah.
Especially if you ruptured two, then you're really amazing. Brian M. I already read that one. This is from Paul M. I thought I was done commenting today, but hold the friggin' phone, Kelly, on Giannis being better than SGA. Let's take out Giannis's one main move, driving to the basket. Well, that is a pretty good move. He can't shoot
really
threes. His mid-range shot is below 500 and foul shooting. Nuff said, I will stop there. Well, I'm with you, Paul M. I think he went a little crazy. I hear what you're saying.
Two-time defensive player of the year.
Age. New York Mets 16. Always just thanking Sharapan for that mathematics on the top three picks. Matt Trudel. What happened with the base winner this morning? Did I really miss it? Will you put his parlay and pick up on your best bet segment? I can't believe I missed it. We had technical problems. He couldn't be on the show.
Yep.
You did not miss
He'll be back next week.
You know who never has technical problems because he can troubleshoot his own? Drew Dansick, everybody. Drewski, whale_capper on Twitter. He's the co-host of Not One But Two podcast, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, Dansick Classic, and then new Dansick, Bet the Edge on NBC Sports, which they do dailies of now as well. Jake Croucher alongside. It's Drew Dansick now from the LBC. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Still have a lot to talk about. A lot going on right now. Fun conversation, honestly, about SGA versus Giannis, who you take at this point. I think we know where Giannis's peak is. We know it's higher than where SGA is now, but the likelihood that he recaptures that peak at his age is probably low. So we don't really know where the ceiling of SGA is. I think you ride this thing out if you're Oklahoma City, and we're probably having a very different conversation if it's not for the great Alex Caruso and his heartfelt fourth quarter performance for the Thunder in game four, where he was hustling and fighting through screens and he was the injection of energy that team needed to avoid what would have been an extremely painful loss.
Damn straight, Drew.
Heartfelt.
Damn straight.
Drew is describing that with a European flair almost. Drew, there's only one thing we really want to know. Lottery, rigged or not? That's all we really want to know.
I think it's probably not rigged, but I do think the basketball gods have a pretty hilarious sense of humor.
That's kind of where I land, which is why I use the phrase, but I will allow for the possibility that it could be.
Oh, wait,
it was rigged back in the day, almost certainly.
Yeah.
I will say this, though, like what they did of flattening the odds, that is a failure. Like, they just need to go back to the old way of things because we have more teams tanking than there used to be. And you have the same teams, you know, that that desperately need to be less bad, not getting the good players. Like it's kind of
what your year of reference is. Like 1983, you're right, there were less teams tanking, but 2017, 2018, there were just as many, if not more, teams tanking for that 25% ping pong ball.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, you have situations though where, and I guess some of this is like the 76ers, they made their bed with having traded the only protecting themselves up to six in that Thunder trade. But some of the some of these teams like the Jazz are what, two years now of trying not to be competitive, and they get the fifth overall pick in a draft that has like maybe three really good players. It's not a great outcome.
And if you're Utah too, like it's like no free agent wants to come here. Like it's just bereft of hope, you know.
Lowry Markkanen got another injury. Just coming just across my timeline. His shoulder's hurting today, guys.
this was satire. This is not true. Okay, tonight's games. We have a game five in Cleveland where the Cavaliers are 7.5-point favorites, Drew, despite the fact that they're down 3-1. We don't know about Donovan Mitchell quite yet. What do you think about this game? Do you have a play total at 230 where it's kind of been all series?
I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. I think the Cavaliers are a bet for the East at 5-1.
Oh, my. Really?
I think Mitchell's fine.
President shoot around. That did just come down. In all seriousness. I know. I was just joking.
That one is not satire.
No, I was just joking about marketing. Yeah. That one did just
come
down.
That one is true.
I think the Cavaliers are correctly 8-point favorites here. I actually make it closer to 9. My fair in the game is 9. I would lay Cavs or pass. But even more than just having a stake in the Cavaliers for this game, do the math. Like they're going to be -150, -135, something like that in Indiana in game 6. So better than a 50-50 chance that this is going to game 7, where you're going to have maybe an 8.5-point, 9-point favorite opportunity for the Cavs. So like this seems like the series is over and the Pacers are just going to win because of a half of game 4 where they could not miss. Every single shot went in. Everything broke their direction. They're a great home team. And so I'm going to be sweating game 6 almost certainly. But I think the Cavs win game 5. I think they're competitive in game 6, have a very realistic chance to go 7. And then in a world where the Cavaliers win this series and play the Knicks, the market price for them in the ballpark of 5-1 implies that that series would be a pick'em. That's not correct. If the Cavaliers get there, that is not a pick'em against the Knicks. They're like in the -240 range probably. So this is like one of those weird situations. And I went to war with the Celtics against the Heat a couple of years ago in the same kind of deal where they're down 0-3 and you're like, I know it doesn't look good, but if they win, like the market it just adjusts them one way because the prior and the anchoring is so strong. And we know that this is a good team. And so, rather than get involved laying the 8, even though I think they will cover tonight, I'm going to add more to what is already an underwater position that the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to win the Eastern Conference.
Cleveland to win the East 5-1, coming strong. Nuggets Thunder tonight, game 5. This is the only series knotted up at 2 games apiece. The Thunder favored by 10.5, total 221.
Yeah, the risk room in my shop has removed my ability to bet more on this series. So I have no action for me. Just going to be sweating out a -520. Just going to be sweating out a -525 money line in the hopes that it gets home. That's all I really care.
Okay.
Just win. Please.
I mean, the spreads are massive.
Go to a game 7. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. The spread's massive. I mean, Drew and I both have Thunder positions. I'm not running to lay 10.5 against this Denver team. Like, we've seen what Jokic and company can do. Do I think they're probably getting tired down the stretch here? The Thunder could take over and this could be a big game. Yeah, but I'm not rolling out Jokic either.
Let's go to tomorrow then.
Yeah.
Knicks, Celtics.
Well, I'll just tell you real quick. I agree with Kelly's point. My fair on that one is 9. So I couldn't lay 10.5 in good conscience anyway. To get to 10.5, you literally have to be pricing in the fact that the Nuggets are dead. And there's some evidence of that. I mean, game 4, the missed free throws, the missed threes, like it all kind of told you the same story, which is you have, some sincere fatigue setting in for these guys. So, I'm cautiously optimistic the Thunder get this done in 6 and very hopeful that they just, that they move through healthy.
Okay. Tomorrow, Warriors Timberwolves. Let's start with that. 11-point favorites on the T-Wolves. That's a second game tomorrow night. Looking to close out the Stephless Warriors. Staying away.
Big number. Don't agree. I think that is Warriors or pass. The idea that the Warriors are just going to let go of the rope and not fight. I'm not seeing it. This team fights hard. They have kind of figured some things out from the last time we saw these teams play in Minnesota, where it was, it was basically Steve Kerr throwing darts, trying to see what he had in the absence of Curry. Now he knows what he has, and I think they're going to play hard enough to at least stay inside this number. I don't think they just completely give up here. So huge, huge number for what has been a pretty competitive series outside of that third quarter yesterday.
And then Knicks Celtics back in Boston. We will assume without Jason Tatum. The Celtics are still a 5-point favorite looking to stave off the closeout.
Yeah, that's my fair as well. I have 112-107 projected there. So 5 points is right on the money, but my total is coming in a lot higher than 208. And I think ultimately Tatum's absence defensively is what makes that game interesting. Knicks certainly have, they played their best game of the series yesterday. Obviously, OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges have, bringing something to the table offensively to supplement what you were already getting from the unstoppable Jalen Brunson and the very solid Karl Anthony Towns offensively is definitely not repeatable necessarily, but the total is sitting at 208 is about 5 points too low.
Okay, Cleveland to win the East 5-1. He likes the over in the Knicks Celtics tomorrow night. I will come back. Preakness, tennis, and Drew needs to make some contest picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Smarter bets start here, last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription.
Slashed!
Normally $240, now just $199.
Slash!
You sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosted guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199.
Slash subscribe.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Too much to get to with Drew. We bring him back. He's always kind enough to do 2 segments with us at @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Deep Dive, the Deep Dive podcast, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. That's where he does his thing. Real quick, you have 4 plays left in the second round. You do have 2 tonight you've already made. So you're going to be okay getting in all your plays.
Yes, I think I'm going to make it. It's going to be close, though. I'm going to need to pick my spots carefully.
We're talking about
options here.
We're talking about the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. Steve
got
Fezzik.
2 wins yesterday, though.
Oh, there you go.
played the 8 with the Cavs tonight. I mentioned my fair is 9, and I took under 220.5 for the Thunder and the Nuggets game, and honestly I only hit submit on that and I'm holding my breath that the Nuggets defense can keep the Thunder under 130 points, because I don't know how the Nuggets are breaking 90.
Okay, wow, all right, there you go. It's contest picks in the challenge, so get a little more insight from Drew on the NBA. All right, to tennis in Rome, the Italian Open. By the way, did Musetti win this match, or is it still suspended? What, did they play a few more points and then they suspended it again? I think it's match point.
They suspended it on match point.
Wow. So I hit the Paolini, right? And now I'm waiting for the Musetti. And it was 5-4. They suspended it. It got to match point. They suspended it again. I cannot get my flowers here.
Rain? What is it?
Yeah, rain.
Okay.
I hope it's rain. I don't know if it's rain.
I don't like lightning.
Do you have anything left when the rain stops?
Let me take a look. I have Tommy Paul against Demon Hour later as a dog to win outright. I took the games with Jaime Munar against Casper Ruud. That's it for today. Tomorrow I have, I'm hoping Andreeva can crack the code and defeat Coco Gauff finally. She's played her three times. She's lost three times. But my pricing between those two women says that should be a pick 'em. And I got plus money on Andreeva to go through. And just overall, like, I have Andreeva as your second choice right now.
Sorry, Gil. In the French Open, second choice.
Oh, there's no apology.
After Sabalenka.
There's no apologizing. There's no apologizing anymore. Once we're talking about Swiatek, by the way, once she lost in an early round on slow clay, that was the end of that, right? Because until that point, you could still hang your hat on, she never loses early, and it's slow clay. Now you can't hang your hat on anything. And I have to, it's the new coach has to have something to do with this also, right? Like, maybe she's completely, well, who knows what it is. Anyway, no need to apologize. Keep as you were. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, Andreeva for me at least is, you know, a lot of markets right now kind of have still holding on to Iga at the top of the board. That's fine if they want to. But I would put her right now as third choice. I would put Gauff fourth. Gauff right now is a third choice above Andreeva in a lot of places. I just feel like there's a much higher upside with Andreeva, especially when you kind of consider what we've seen from her this year as overall, and the fact that she's taken such a serious step forward this year. So this is kind of where the rubber meets the road for her to really contend for slams. These next three are kind of her breakout opportunity, particularly if Iga is going to concede dominance in this particular event, then there's going to be potential for something fun to happen. So why not get Andreeva in there, especially after she chips Indian Wells this spring.
I think I'm going to be opposite you on the Coco Andreeva match tomorrow, but I'm not sure yet. Okay. I'll have to look. Yeah, I
might be opposite. Riding the head to head. 3-0. Against her in Madrid was good.
Not the head to head. Her numbers, her clay numbers are spectacular. Coco's are. So I may ride with that. We'll see. Can't argue with you about the French right now, though. Wouldn't it be awesome if Iga somehow came alive? Okay, to the Preakness. You had a good Kentucky Derby. You had a great Kentucky Derby. Let me not shortchange that.
Fantastic. So did Chris Felica. So did Mike Somich. I just don't want to get any texts. Right. Okay.
We have the horse racing people are very prickly with that. Chris Felica hit a 7-1 and Somich hit a superfecta. Y'all were great.
Nice.
Do we have a shot at the Triple Crown? Let's start there. And then how do you see the Preakness go?
I'm going to go no.
Yes. Somich's superfecta was like practically cold, too, which is to say he didn't put 9 million options in there.
Yeah.
He just gave you like five horses and four of them hit. The Preakness is an interesting setup this year. This is obviously the 150th running. And it does not feature a Triple Crown contender, as the most notable name absent from the field is Sovereignty. He's elected to pass the Preakness and focus point towards the Belmont Stakes.
There's my answer.
The Belmont. It's a longer race, guys. Well, there's two things about Sovereignty. One of the reasons he was such a wise guy pick for the Kentucky Derby is because his performances suggested he really wanted the mile and a quarter. Like, he was ready to go that distance. He was the type of horse that really excels at, you know, in that type, those type of conditions. Like, it was the perfect storm. Well, the Preakness is a step backwards in distance. It's more of, it's like the sprint of the Triple Crown, so to speak. It's a mile and 3/16. And so, you know, the fact that you're kind of ramping back down distance wise when they have been really kind of pointing Sovereignty to go further and further and further, like that was one reason to kind of say, you know, does this make sense to run them here? And then on top of that, you have other speed in this field. You have sprinters effectively, and Sovereignty is a closer. He is going to have to come off the pace to get every win of his career probably. You're not feeling like this is our race necessarily.
But do you agree with that, Drew? I'm curious what your stance is on that. Do you agree with that in a sport that already, you know, thirsts for younger generations to love it? There is this thing called the Triple Crown that most are still aware of, right? It might be the only thing they're aware of in horse racing. I get the points you're making. That's a pretty, you know, we've talked about this for several years now. It's a pretty interesting decision to make, to forego any chance of that. Is still understanding your reasoning, but it just seems like, yeah, History schmistery, you know, the chance at history. History schmistery, as my mom used to say, who cares about the big financial prize if we do win the Triple Crown? Let's just play this the way we want, because all we really care about is the horse's health and breeding in the end, I guess. Is that part of it also, well, the health?
I mean, if you cared about the breeding part of it more than you cared about the arc of the year, then you probably just run him.
That too,
because that's like the upside of like the upside of kind of early retirement, you know, the justify path where he just runs the Triple Crown and then you retire him right away before anything else can happen to him, right? Like that is sort of like the, hey, we have something special here where we don't know that this career, that, you know, this more horse is more valuable for us not on the track. Well, sovereignty is more valuable on the track. This is a horse that could potentially and probably will win the Belmont. He probably will win at least one, if not two races over the summer of, you know, premier grade one stakes at Saratoga. He probably will have a very reasonable shot to win a Breeders' Cup Classic, if not this year, then next year, right? So they're probably really looking at his 3-year-old and 4-year-old seasons. We're going to run this horse in all of the premier graded stakes, and he is going to ship a number of those to the tune of, you know, he's going to, this is what we want out of this experience, as opposed to we are looking at this as potential, you know, smash and grab money play where we can breed him. They want to race him. And I think kind of electing to not run him on a 2-week turnaround in a race that doesn't really fit his running style and isn't really like a reasonable, very reasonable chance against a bunch of fresh runners. Like it would have been tactically poor.
Okay.
If what they really care about is running him throughout the year.
It's a good answer. Yeah.
And so I get it. Like, you know, if I was in the horse racing game, you know what I wouldn't care about? Whatever breeding rights I'm getting from the horse. I want to run him in all the big races and I want to win those races. Right. And so like the history part of it, of the Triple Crown, would have been tough to pass up. But I think I would have similarly looked at this field, looked at this kind of what you're asking of this horse and said, you know, we're probably going to get beat. And you know, we're going to get beat on top of the fact that we're going to threaten our chance to win the Belmont. So let's hold them.
What do you got in the Preakness then?
Give me the one. Goal Oriented is kind of your freshest, hottest newcomer in this field. He is a Baffert trained horse. Baffert famously 8-time winning record at the Preakness, which is the most of any trainer. And I think he has a pretty cool and special horse here. We saw Goal Oriented run his second race of his career on Derby Day at Churchill Downs. He was on the undercard in race 3. He stomped. He gets Flavian Pratt aboard, who is obviously, if not the best, one of the best jockeys in the sport. And in general, I like his ability to go speed heads up with journalism. Journalism is going to have more tactical speed early. Goal Oriented could just flat out be on the pace, and I could see a world where he goes wire to wire.
Drew, thank you as always. Appreciate it. See you on the PGA. Right.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The sharp plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros, sharpplays.com. Check them out. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside here. I just want to read this one tweet. This is from Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, hey man. There are only two plausible causes for this sudden rash of Achilles injuries. The MLB pitch clock or the Dutch. A reference to Michael Caine and Austin Powers. What does he say? There's only two things I hate in this world. Intolerance of other cultures and the Dutch, he says. Nice to have Angry Country Club and K. Michael Bidlin back as well. Any player award future losing tickets we can get him to discuss to ease his pain? Wow.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Yeah. No, not really. Not really. Primetime. Love you, man.
That was a bad NBA award season.
Oh, it sucked. Yeah. It sucked. There was so many close. Like, it could have easily have been great.
I only had the one. I had Norm Powell injury. The only NBA future I had, Warriors injury. Like, there's nothing you can say about
it. I think the one, especially with most improved, it's the award, because I've hit, what, I think 3 of the last 5. Like, I thought I kind of had down and hit on preseason tickets too, right? So it was kind of that little formula of the star on the rise sort of thing that I was always targeting. And man, the way this played out this year, Gil, it's throw out the playbook because this has changed. And I mean, the NBA awards this year, I don't think you really, you wouldn't have thought, you wouldn't have had a winning season if you didn't really, only if you bet them like in 2025. Like you had to have waited till February, March really to get involved in a lot of those.
This gentleman knows not only golf, but multiple sports as well. Maybe he wants to chime in on some stuff. Sia Najad joins us from the Monumental Sports Network, of course, also CBS Sportsline as well. We always love having Sia on, or Sportsline as we're calling it these days. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Joins us now, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Sia?
Gil, I'm good. What a great day to have a sports talk show.
Oh,
a great
man.
Time of year. There's just so much going on. And since we're talking about awards, can I just tell you, Jaden Daniels, NFL MVP 2025. How do you feel about that, Gil?
Oh, music is having, there's like a choir in my ear. Go on.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing. We know, you guys know better than anybody, that voting is flawed. And part of that flaw is people looking for narratives, people looking for new faces or additional faces to put on the, quote, you know, the Mount Rushmore, if you will, with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. We're looking at Jaden Daniels. I think his number is in, I know I'm here to talk golf, but we're looking at Jaden Daniels. I think his number is in the, you know, plus 800 to plus 1,000, maybe plus 1,100 range. He's got a new toy in Deebo Samuel. He's got his offensive line back plus Laremy Tunsil. You know, you look at their projected win totals, they probably won't win the NFC East, but they certainly have a chance to, and he doesn't need to get this MVP award. It just feels like when you look at Jaden Daniels as a person and as a football player, and if you're narrative shopping and you're looking for an additional face on a team that is very much excelling, he really checks a lot of those boxes. So Jaden Daniels is your MVP NFL 2025.
Go on. No, I'm kidding.
I love when our guests hit the like the regular or semi-regular guest point, and then the guests get so comfortable, like see us cross that line. Like, I know I'm here to talk golf. Unapologetically, though, I'm talking something else for the next minute.
See, do you get all fired up for the NFL schedule release tomorrow? Do you get fired up for that as well?
Only to the extent, I mean, we know who these teams are playing. I mean, for Washington, for example, like we're going to get a lot of primetime games. That, by the way, also feeds into what I'm talking about when it comes to Jaden being NFL MVP. He's going to have a lot of primetime games. So I think that part is interesting. But to me, the NFL schedule release is more of like, okay, now we can start to take the next NFL season kind of seriously. We are still kind of far removed. But when I see the schedule, now I can start breaking down wins and losses. And now futures are starting to come out more and more. So yeah, I kind of get excited about it, but it's mostly because of the time of year that it comes out.
Yeah, six games already leaked, quote unquote, or announced slash leaked. And we'll give you the spreads on those here before the end of the show. Okay, well, one more thing before we get to golf. I know you're not an Achilles guy, but you've had your shoulder knocked, separated, what, like 100 times? How many times have you had your shoulder separated?
Yeah, seven full dislocations.
Seven full dislocations.
Why do we have to talk about it? It hurts my shoulder every time we talk about
it. And you pop it back in every time, do you? Is that
like
what
Rick's.
You do?
Yeah, five out of seven I was able to pop it back in, and two of them I had to go to the emergency room. And let me tell you, when you go to the emergency room, they don't just pop it back in for you. Like sometimes it is a brutal experience because they have trouble putting it back in as well. And that's not fun.
Oh my God.
That's worse.
They tried like seven times. The last time, I know I keep using the word seven or the number seven, but it was probably six or seven times they tried. And on the, before the last try, the doctor said, okay, we're going to have to put you down, like put you to sleep if this one doesn't work. And there were multiple people trying to put my shoulder back in that moment. There were nurses in pinning down my other shoulder. It's a story for another day.
So there's like people holding you down while multiple other people are grabbing your arm and just trying to jam it back in like you're
Lego. It's like Lethal Weapon.
Yeah,
it's
Riggs.
Like, Riggs. Yeah, that's who you are.
Yeah,
times seven.
A little bit.
I don't know why I brought that up. It just reminded me of Jason Tatum.
Tough break for Jason Tatum because next year, I'm sure you talked about it, probably a wash as well.
Yes, a wash as well. I said earliest he could come back, I said, is playoffs. That's my timeline. That's what they ought to say, unless you're listening to these hack doctors on Twitter who go with the Aaron Rodgers thing just so they can get clicks. Okay, to the PGA Championship, sir. Let us start with outrights. Where are you on that?
You know, in events like this, I really am conservative. I mean, I'll tell you, it's like the alt events where I'm going to pepper like a five or six person card because I think there are so many guys, not just the alt events, but some of the non-signature, non-major events where I'm peppering the board. Here, I got to be honest, I'm taking a couple of short shots, or really just one right now that I focused on. It's Bryson DeChambeau at 14 to 1. I got this at 14 to 1 like 2 days ago. It's now down to 11, 10 to 1. I also was able to take him 2 days ago in the without Rory and Scotty market at 10 to 1. So that's where a lot of my money is. I did see Patrick Cantlay at 45 to 1, and I know his major championship history is not good, and he hasn't closed lately at all, but I can't ignore what I'm seeing from him, which is usually 3 out of 4 great days with ball striking and with the putter. There's always a lazy day from Patrick Cantlay where he doesn't come through. But again, 45 to 1 is long enough for me to invest.
This is really the theme. Kelly, I'll ask you this as well. This is really the theme from everybody I've heard about this PGA Championship, is you did hours and hours and hours of research on this yesterday. And in the end, you're like, here's the most boring bets ever. That's kind of the theme here. Nobody's straying into...
Look, it's... I think I said this yesterday, but it's, if you're a golf fan, I think we got an awesome Masters. I think we're about to get an awesome PGA Championship. If you're a golf bettor who likes to go further down the board, these ain't your tournaments.
These ain't your tournaments.
In my opinion. And it worked out pretty well the first time around with Rory.
But that's more pronounced than ever before, it feels like. This wasn't always the case with every major ever.
I mean, this one's even this one's even crazier than the Masters to me. And we said a lot of these same things heading into the Masters. But you're talking about Rory off a Masters win. You've got Scheffler and Bryson both coming in off of wins. Like, JT has won recently. Like, the top of the board is as strong as it's ever been, yes.
Yeah,
I think that's the difference. And by the way, I think JT is a good play too in that 20 to 22 to 1 range. I mean, I don't think I'm going to add him to my card, but I like him as well. I mean, when you see, here's the thing, the last few years we've caught something that we hadn't had since Tiger Woods, which is a couple of people, maybe one in Scottie Scheffler's case last year, but a couple of people that are dominating at the top of the board. And when you look at this course and you look at the PGA setup, it's probably going to be pretty tough, receptive because of the rain, but pretty tough nonetheless. The rough is going to be grown out a little bit. You're really, and when you factor that distance thing in there and you got Scotty, Rory, and Bryson at the top, it's really hard to ignore those three. Yes, somebody could sneak up, even like a Sepp Straka like last week, but this is a different type of course. Yeah. And I think over 4 rounds, you're really seeing like a top tier that we haven't really seen in some time.
You do have a top 30 play, one top 30?
Yeah, I usually play Corey Connors in the top Canadian market. The reason I'm not doing it, I'm playing in the top 30, is because I do think Taylor Pendrith and Nick Taylor, Nick Taylor has good history here. Taylor Pendrith, I think, has good history as well. I'm kind of worried about them eclipsing Corey Connors in this tournament, potentially. So while I'm going to skip over the plus 160 I can get top Canadian, I'm going to take him plus 105, including ties, in the top 30 market. Corey Connors has just been so, so solid. This entire year, he's been solid at the Wells Fargo as well. The ball striking is there. The putter has largely been there. So top 30, it's kind of a conservative play. You can play him top 20 at, you know, probably plus 165, including ties. But I tend to be more conservative in these finishing position bets. So give me Corey Connors there.
And Sia, you're Mr. First Round Leader bet. You don't have any for this one?
Keith, well, tee times aren't out yet. So normally I'm on with you guys Wednesday, but because of my schedule for the PGA Championship tomorrow, I can't join you Wednesday. So I'll tell you what, though. I'll tweet them out. I'm going to tag you guys in the tweet. There are guys I have my eyes on, but I'm looking for morning tee times. And so I'm just going to kind of wait for the tee times are coming out in like an hour or two, is my guess.
That's an acceptable answer.
It is.
It's an acceptable answer. We will accept that.
Next time we'll do it on a Wednesday. That's my fault. It's my fault, not you guys.
Sia bets him even earlier than I do, so I can't give him any crap.
Sia, anything else you want to say about Jaden Daniels before we leave here, or is that sufficient? We're good.
Super Bowl.
I mean, I said it all, but I do think that's actually a pretty good look, especially if you can get 10 to 1 on Jaden Daniels MVP.
I dig it. And there's a lot of people who are like, well, how do we know it's going to be good the second year? Let me just say this. If you watched every play like we did, there is nothing to suggest that there will be anything markedly different this coming year. That's right. How mature this kid is. Thank you, Sia. Mm-hmm. Always appreciate it, man. Sia Najat, everybody.
Thanks, Gil.
From the Monumental Sports Network and Sportsline as well. We'll come back. Those NFL plays.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Let me just read through these tweets here that we got. Best listeners in the game, by the way. Kevin Ryan. Gil, I had the Padres last night in a large money line parlay, and for the first time in a long time, found myself screaming at the TV and defaming he says the head coach, I think he means the manager, for not yanking a pitcher who had no idea where the ball was going when it left his hand. It was brutal.
That's walk, terrible.
Walk, walk, walk. After the second or third, you got to pull.
Well, the other thing with like that excuse, doesn't that sound a lot better in August than like, no, we're sticking with our guy?
I just can't stand. I mean, again, Buck Showalter still hasn't put Zach Britton into that wild card game against the Blue Jays, right? It's like this adherence to this is this role he fills and he must stay in.
And now Brian's got a tweet. Don't tweet about Sia's shoulder either. Like, Brian it literally makes me nauseous.
Brian M., I have multi-directional instability. In high school, I dislocated / separated my shoulder countless times. Our head trainer worked for a professional lacrosse team before our school, so he started just popping it back in for me.
Oh.
See it having it done 7 times. Well, 5 on his own, twice in the emergency room.
The picture in my mind of him like being held down on a hospital bed while like 2 doctors just like grab his arm and yank it in there.
Isn't it interesting how like certain things land in your brain when you're a kid? And I'd remember nothing else from the Lethal Weapon movies except for that.
That stands out.
That's the only thing I remember.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
Mel Gibson looking up at the camera. And
then he'd find a wall to jam it into.
That's right. The Better Life, Tim Lawson, the official historian of the Beating the Book podcast. He said yesterday, Gil mentioned the crying Kenny story on A Numbers Game. If you've never heard it, it's a great one and my personal favorite. First told by Chrissy Andrews in 2014 on the Beating the Book podcast. The crying Kenny story starts and he logs it. So anybody who wants to listen to the greatest crying Kenny story of them all, famous better that used to roam around Vegas here many, many decades ago. There it is. It's on my feed. You can get to the actual link and the actual time log of it.
But Chris always had a few funny stories about him. Yeah.
The story times were the greatest thing ever on that podcast. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That was the highlight of everything. Just call me Skip. Does Sia use mousse, gel, or Gorilla Glue?
Ooh.
# high hair.
Well, he's got great hair. There's no questioning that. I don't know what product he uses. I'll have to reach out.
Andy V, Bulls were bad with the lottery. However, it's a 1.8% versus a 1.7% chance. The worst defender was the Heat, who if they lose either play-in game, not only end up in the Dallas slot, but by winning a play-in game, they forfeited their pick to OKC. But again, with the 1.8 to the 1.7%, it's not about that. It's about, again, they won a spate of games at the end of the year to get into that tie with the Mavericks, right? 6 of their last 7. By the way, the streak was even longer than that, but 6 of the last 7 to just make it, you know, as succinct as I can. And that got them in the tie and the coin flip. It doesn't, again, the combination that was picked was in that one. It was in that group of 18, not in the group of 17. So the difference being 18 versus 17, ultimately, it's not about focusing on that one difference. It just happened to be in the group of 18. Does that make sense? It would have been any team that landed in that slot was going to win the lottery. By the way, our best bets, let's recap them, courtesy of GBank before we move on to these NFL spreads. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Here are mine. I made a bet yesterday. I made a World Series matchup bet. Tigers, Padres, 66-1 at BetMGM. This is not an exacta. Doesn't matter who would win the World Series, but just a meet in the World Series, Tigers, Padres, 66-1. I just love the way the Padres are constructed. Not last night, but Tigers, Padres, World Series matchup, 66-1. Jackson Merrill, NL MVP. I mentioned that I bet this last week. I got it at 50-1 at first. There was a muling of an 80-1 was also in there.
Mm-hmm.
I am still going to add to this. I am going to add to this at current numbers. This kid is unbelievable. He is like his batting average since I made these plays is just out of control, over 500. He's batting for something for the, you know, his young season. This kid's incredible. Jackson Merrill, NL MVP. I have the Pacers adjusted price at +191. Drew thinks I still may lose that I made after game one. And I have the Nuggets price adjusted series price after game one +267, which I made after game one in that series. That series knotted up at 2 apiece. Kelly Bidelon, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm riding with you. I'm just doing Pacers. I'm going Pacers. I think game by game here. I hear Drew where he's got Cavs power rated. I think health is still a question though, and this Pacers team is they're good enough, man. They are good enough to get this done, win one of the next 3 games. So I'll be going money line here on out for them every game. So money line. on the Pacers tonight for me, and that's it for tonight.
Okay. We also heard from Jake Hahn. He's got the Stars Jets under 6 goals in tonight's lone NHL playoffs matchup. 2 NBA games, but only 1 in the NHL, as they get all series to a total of 4 games as well. Also, we had our buddy Drew Dinsick, Cavaliers to win the East at 5-1. How about that? Down 3-1 of the Pacers. He's taking them to win the East at 5-1. His remaining tennis plays of the day, Tommy Paul, +150 versus Alex de Minaur. Jaume Munar, +4.5 games versus Casper Ruud. And then tomorrow, he's on Mira Andreeva, +110 versus Coco. Yeah, I might be oppo him. And then in the Preakness, goal-oriented.
The number one horse.
From the pole position, 6-1. Goal-oriented. Yeah. 6-1 from Drew.
I understand his thinking on the Cavs playing him in the futures market, because it's a little bit of what I did with the Thunder last week, adding him to win the finals. It's just the, you got to get past this series, and then you're set up with a great price.
Sia Najad, PGA Championship bets, Bryson DeChambeau to win it all at 14-1. Bryson in a market without McIlroy and Scheffler to win it all at 10-1. And then Patrick Cantlay, one flyer, at 45-1. He also has a top 30, I believe, in there as well, right?
Yeah, Corey Connors, top 30.
G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, with all of our best bets, every show, every host, every guest, every sport. Get the G-Bank Visa signature card today. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. G-Bank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're saving up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also with G-Bank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Now, Steve Fezzik was doing the show this morning, Kelly. He would not have done as much NBA draft lottery as we would have, because we're obsessed with that kind of thing. You know what he would have done 3 segments on?
We got spreads, man.
We got NFL spreads.
NFL spreads. We got him.
he's the kind of guy that will make bets on this now and wait till the fall for them to cash or grade.
And what do we usually say? For most people, it's usually not that smart to tie up your money that long. Steve Fezzik, I'm really worried about.
Different animal. Yeah. That kid's a different animal. Here are the leaks. Here are the ones that have been announced / leaks. We know now the Cowboys are playing the Eagles again, opening Thursday night football, September 4th. Eagles are 7-point favorites. These are all DraftKings. I think these are DraftKings. Tuesday, November 11th. Well, I don't know why it says Tuesday, but this is a Monday night football game. Eagles-Packers.
Eagles, yeah, that's the 10th on Monday.
Yeah, Eagles at the Packers. Eagles favored by 1.5. The Eagles have 4 of these games already announced. Friday, November 28th. This is Black Friday, right? The day after Thanksgiving. Big shopping day of the year. Eagles favored by 7 at home over the Bears. Anything interest you so far? Saturday, December 20th, Eagles Commanders. Eagles 1.5-point favorites on the road against the Commodores. Disrespectful. Also on Saturday, the 20th, Packers at the Bears. Packers 1.5-point road favorites. And then on December 25th, I believe the kids call that Christmas Day, Broncos, Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 4.5. Totals also included in all those. Interesting. You want to bet any of those, Kelly? You racing to bet any?
No. To think what the most interesting one would be to me. Beep. Rams at Jaguars. Lay the 4.5 with the Rams. I think I'm going to be very bullish.
Wait, what's
on
that
Rams
one? I haven't even seen that one up.
Rams. No, see that DraftKings? DraftKings has got, it's like a dozen games up here.
So they're adding more as we speak.
Sunday, October 19th. So this must be, this is one of the international ones.
Oh, the international ones. Here's the international schedule.
No wonder why.
We know the international ones also. That's correct.
Well, now I like it even better because it's not in Jacksonville.
Yeah, these were announced. So again, we have one in Brazil. We have one in Sao Paulo, September 5th, the day after. Remember the Packers and Eagles played this Brazil game last year, the day after the opener? The night after the opener, Friday night football. So the Chargers are going to be in Brazil. Sunday, September 28th in Dublin, Ireland, Vikings Steelers. Sunday, October 5th in London, Vikings Browns. How about the Vikings going back to back in the United Kingdom? And then Sunday, October 12th in London, Broncos Jets. October 19th in London, Rams Jaguars. Wouldn't be an NFL season without the Jaguars London game. Mm-hmm. Sunday, November 9th in Berlin. That's Germany, Kelly. Falcons Colts. And then Madrid, España, Commanders, Dolphins on November 16th.
Das Bundesliga?
The NFL's dreams, Roger Goodell's dream of making the NFL international truly truly manifesting this coming year.
You know where my sick brain really goes with this is like, man, there's a lot of good teaser legs on the board. Which would be the most ridiculous thing you could do right now.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, we've done all we can do. What a time. NBA draft lottery talk. I'm sure JVT. JVT will have his thoughts on that. Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel next. Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.